Hey, my friend, I want to thank you for coming on and listening to this podcast. It's exclusively about camp crafting, traditional camp crafting skills. And to that end, I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't invite you to join the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild. Now, the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild is an incredible community of people who like camp crafting skills. If you're thinking bushcraft, hiking, backpacking, whittling away around the campfire, setting up tents, things like that. You know, all these things are combined. So if you are ready to embark on a journey into a timeless world of traditional campcraft, then look no further. We are thrilled to invite you to join us. Now, what this community includes is network opportunities. Connect with fellow enthusiasts and seasoned experts passionate about traditional campcrafting. There's exclusive events just for the members. You can gain access to members-only gatherings and workshops designed to elevate your outdoor skills. And of course, we have roundtables with question and answer sessions. Engage in insightful discussions and pick the brains of industry leaders during our interactive sessions. And there's an incredibly large and ever-growing resource library. Unlock a treasure trove of guides, tutorials, and resources to enhance your knowledge and expertise. And what kind of guild would we be if we didn't have skills development? You can hone your craft with hands-on training and challenges and guidance from seasoned camp crafters, ensuring you're prepared for any wilderness adventure. So don't miss out on this chance to immerse yourself in a community dedicated to preserving and celebrating the art of traditional campcraft. All you have to do is go to honorableoutfitters.com/join the guild. Again, it's honorableoutfitters.com/join the guild. You can check it out for 5 days. There's no obligation. It won't even ask for your credit card unless you decide to continue. So go ahead, poke around and see what you find. And we can't wait to have you sitting around the campfire with us with your cup of coffee, hot cocoa, or warm tea, or whatever it is you drink. We're waiting for you. All right, sit down, grab that cup of whatever, and let's get going on this week's episode.
The age-old question, to strop or not to strop, that is the question. And today we're going to answer that question. Now, those of you who are on my channel, most of you are pretty well experienced. According to the demographics, especially age-wise, it shows that most of you who watch my channel are pretty well experienced out there in life. And chances are, especially with all the comments, most of you seem to be pretty well versed in campcraft skills. So if you are advanced in your campcraft skills, then don't worry. There's actually information in this video that's going to be useful to you as well. And if you're new or intermediate, then all this information is going to be very useful. I'm going to give you the reason why stropping is so important, and I'm going to give you some ideas that you can achieve the goal without breaking the bank. You don't always need to spend a lot of money in camping. You don't. And I'm going to show you how. So let's get back to this age-old question. Stropping or not to strop? The answer is yes. You should always strop your knife. Honestly, you can overstrop your knife. You can, but that has a lot to do with technique more than anything. If you're working an hour just constantly stropping your knife, then yes, you could overstrop it and you can create what's called a wire edge on your knife. And it's actually going to make it more fragile. It's really difficult to do that unless you have certain grinds. Now, I know this is getting a little complicated, but most knives are grounded a particular way, and they probably have a V grind, convex grind. They could possibly have a Scandinavian grind. There's flat grinds. There's things like that. So depending on what type of knife that you have, depends on how much you should strop it and in what way. We're not diving into that. Not today. No, I don't got enough time for that. But generally, if you strop your blade about 25 to 50 times on your strop after you get done using it, it'll help maintain it. Generally speaking, you don't have to do it more than that. Okay. And there's lots of different types of strops that you can use. You could use a belt strop. I'm actually going to show you the belt strop. There is the wood block or solid strop, which I don't tend to use. A lot of people like them. If you are new to stropping your knife, then a wood block or a solid block strop might be a good thing for you to do. However, if you're like me and you shave with a straight razor to keep your good looks, chances are you already have a bell strop and you're probably pretty well versed in how to use that type of strop. That's what the old timers used to do. They just take out their belt and they strop their knife right on their belt. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. And a lot of people think that you actually have to have a leather belt to strop your blade. That's not true at all. Linen strops, even taking an old pair of jeans, you could take your leg of your pants. That's what my dad always used to do. And he'd strop it right there on his leg, tighten it, and you're good to go. So there's lots of things that you can do. Now, here's some of my suggestions for you. You can spend money on a high-quality strop. If you're just starting out, though, I wouldn't do that because you're going to nick your strop, you're going to damage your strop, you're going to be really frustrated with yourself, and you're going to be questioning all your life choices and be angry at me because I told you to get a strop, right? If you're new, go to your Goodwill, Salvation Army, someplace, ask a neighbor, ask a coworker, hey, that's a nice belt. If you ever get done using it, mind if I have it? You know? So find yourself an old belt, old piece of leather, okay? And cut it out about 2 foot long, okay? You honestly probably don't need the full 2 foot, but 2 foot long will give you enough length. And then find yourself a D-ring. This is about, I think it's an inch and a half. I don't think it's quite 2 inches. It might be 2 inches. But get yourself a D-ring. And here's another hint. I found this at my local Goodwill because in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, these type of belts were all the rage. And I could get it for like $1 or $1.50. And look at that. I got 2 D-rings. But honestly, you don't even have to take this apart because of the type of material it is. The webbing and everything, this is actually really good as a strop all by itself. So this is all ready to go. You don't have to do anything. But if you're wanting to get fancy and get used to using more of a traditional style strop, get yourself a belt or get yourself some leather, cut it out, put a D-ring on it. You don't need a whole lot of sewing skills. And if you don't want to sew it, just get some rivets or get some Chicago screws. And honestly, I got a really high-end strop. And they don't stitch anything. They don't have any rivets. It's just 2 Chicago screws. So if they can charge me $100 and some for a really high-end strop then and use Chicago screws, so can you on your $1.50 strop, right? So anyhow, get yourself a piece of leather. Put it around the D-ring. The D-ring is really nice because you can hook this up to a branch. When you're out camping, you can put it on a nail. You can keep it at home, put it in your shop or something like that. You can just tie it up if nothing else. So you have this D-ring basically to connect it. And then give yourself another D-ring down here. I kind of repurposed my D-ring. So put another D-ring down here if you want to. That way it gives you something to pull onto. Like take your finger in there and hook onto it and hold it tight. If nothing else, just give yourself a tab, and you can still pull it. So I can still use this just fine. The D-ring just makes it kind of nice, okay? And on the backside, as you can see here, I have literally old pair of jeans, and I didn't even sew the back of it. I just glued it because that's how lazy I was at the time. I just wanted something really quick and easy, and the glue held. So this works. You definitely want to double it up, though, because that gives it a little bit of strength to it. Cotton tends to stretch, which jeans will, and linens will as well. But that, like I said, that double thickness just helps give it a little bit of strength. Now you have yourself leather side and your jean side. But first, did you know that I offer a ton of free resources to help you guys and traditional camp crafting? I have my website, www.honorableoutfitters.com. I even have my free monthly newsletter, which always has a lot of hints and tips and tricks and keeps you updated with the channel, which is really nice. And I don't spam your email. So if there's something that's important coming up, like a special guest or some nice tips and tricks, some sales or specials that I see and I notice, then I put it on there for you guys. And again, I don't spam you. I don't sell your stuff. It's just a free resource to try to help you out. Now, if you're new to stropping, if you're new to straight razor shaving or something, you might be wondering, why do I need the jean side? Well, Mr. Smarty Pants, this is what you use it for. This is what you use to dry your blade. Or you can actually put a sharpening compound on this. It's like a crown. I don't really use them. A lot of people do. They're nice if that's kind of your thing. But honestly, I don't sharpen my knives past like 1,000, maybe 3,000 on some of my knives. But I'm not using it to shave with. I'm using it to cut. And you don't want your knives to be super, super, super sharp, because the tool that it is, you're going to use it in a way that's going to dull for a really, really sharp blade really quick. So you don't need it to cut hair. You're not actually going to shave with it. Okay. So anyhow, back to my point. You don't need a leather side, but you can seriously strop it just with jeans. Honestly, you can also use rolled up newspaper. That works too. What's interesting is a couple of my forums ago that I used to be a part of, they actually did a test, and some people have some pretty fancy microscopes they have access to, and they were able to do tests on newspaper, compare it to, you know, jeans and linen and leather and all that. And it may take a little bit more, but the newspaper is actually abrasive enough that it can put on a really nice polish and a really nice edge on knives. Go figure, right? Grandpappy knew something. That's kind of crazy. So anyhow, but if you want to look a little more refined, going back to this, after you sharpen your blade, you hone it or what have you, might be a little wet if you use a whetstone, or you might need to wipe a little oil off, but you want to get that stuff off of your blade, that crud. That's really what this is for, especially if you use a waterstone. That way this dries the blade, and then it keeps your leather side useful for just the stropping part. So you could do like 25, 50 on this side, and again, 25 strokes on this strop. That's honestly all I ever do, and I've never had a problem with it. But this is where it gets problematic with these type of strops, or if you know, get the old belt from the old Goodwill. A lot of people let them sag. You don't want them to sag. You want them to be kind of taut. Now, they don't have to be bored taut. In fact, that's one of the nice things about these type of strops, because they do bend a little bit and you're not trying to push a lot of pressure on it. You're letting the knife do the work. If you let it bend just a little bit, it's automatically going to fit the profile of your blade. So if you have a convex knife, if you have a Scandinavian knife, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I will say this. If you have a Scandinavian flat grind or a chisel ground knife, then a board strop may actually be better, because there's a high chance that you're going to strop it in a way that might actually bend the edge of your blade. And that's not what you want with those type of grinds. You want them to be very direct, because they're designed specifically for wood processing. Whereas a convex blade or a V edge that's set at about 25 degrees and it's small, it's not going to be so problematic. But the way that the other ones are ground, it could have a detrimental effect on your knife. So if that's the case, again, you could still do everything like I said. You could use jeans, you can use newspaper, you can use a piece of leather, you glue it, you staple it, you nail it, you could even hold it flat on a piece of wood and strop your blade. And that's going to serve you just fine. Now, if you like this video, if it's been useful, please don't forget to click like, because that helps other people find this video and it helps the channel grow and it helps them. So you'll be doing them a favor. Thank you. I've told you different ways of making the strop work for you on an economical side. But Grandpa, like I said, used to just take off his leather belt, wrap it around a tree, strop his knife, and he's good to go. Like my dad did, just use his pants, strop it a couple of times, and you're good to go. This will help you maintain your blade, and you'll be spending way less time on the stones. You don't need to spend a lot of time on the stones unless you mistreat your knife, it's got nicks in it, or if you're just not maintaining it. And then, you know, a couple times a year, I might have to hit the stone, which is honestly going to deteriorate your knife And especially if you're spending a lot of money on a custom knife, well, you're actually hurting your pocketbook as well. So this will certainly save you. Now, if you are one of the experienced people, I'm sure a lot of these ideas have already crossed your mind. But I challenge those of you who are experienced with this, because you probably have just used a belt or something like that. How about you spend a little time making yourself a little strop like this? That way you can keep it in your workshop. You can roll it up and take it with you if you know you're going to be doing a lot of field work or something. Again, your belt's going to be just fine. But if you nick this versus your nice belt, you know, you're not going to feel possibly as upset, especially if it's just leftover leather or maybe a belt that you found that was just a little too small for you to begin with. All right. So we always like reusing things. We always like being smart and economical. This will save you your time because you're not going to be honing on the stone a lot. It'll save your knife and it's going to save you money. Now, this is the part where I invite you to the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild, because if you're not a member yet, if you have not at least checked out the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild, you can check it out for 5 days. 5 days free, right? You can come on, you can check it out. Guys, we have an awesome lineup of bi-weekly roundtable discussions. We have experts and leaders in the camping community coming on, and they have the question and answer time. Now is the time to get in so you don't miss out. Like I said, they're bi-weekly. You're definitely getting your money's worth. Plus, the community itself is just so awesome. We have people on there like Wes. Thank you, Wes, who just keeps contributing and putting on resources into our library. We have people like Mike Ross, who is great at approaching challenges and stuff. We have monthly challenges. We have a book club, which Terrence and a bunch of other guys are on. Like, man, like, if you have not checked it out, what's holding you back? Let me know below. That way I can talk to you and maybe I can even fix it. I don't know. You know, it's not really all that expensive, especially when you think about the time and effort that you put into it and the community that's wrapped around it and all the stuff that's going on. Everything is getting put back into the group. So check it out. It's 5 free days. You don't have to put in a credit card unless you decide to continue. You have absolutely nothing to lose. I can't wait to see you on there. So I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Give a kiss to your loved ones. And I can't wait to see you next week. And hopefully on the Camp Crafters Guild. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, my friend, for spending some time with me today. I hope this episode was pretty useful to you. One of my goals in life is to try to get as many people out in the woods, especially developing their traditional camp crafting skills and, you know, sharing my love of history along the way. In case you didn't know, I have a very growing and diverse way of trying to reach that goal. One of those is my website, www.honorableoutfitters.com. Now on there, that's kind of the hub of everything that's going on. I also wanted to let you know that I have a monthly newsletter. Now the monthly newsletter, again, it's not spam. I put a historical articles with tips and tricks and things like that on there. All you have to do is just go to the description box or the show notes, and you can find a link on there to sign up. And I don't sell your email or anything. It's literally just to give you guys more value. And to that end, on my website, I also have a very vast library that I learned a lot from. And I want to pass on some of those traditional skills and knowledges onto you by offering that. And of course, invite you again to join the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild, because that is where you will find your kind of people. And that's kind of hard, especially as adults. Sometimes it's difficult to find people who like traditional camp crafting. And to that end, the Traditional Camp Crafters Guild was born to deliberately put people together to network, share knowledge, and hopefully get you out in the woods with others just like us. So again, thank you so much for spending time with me. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Give a kiss and hug to your loved ones, and I will see you guys down the trail. Take care.